If you have a Bible, grab it and find 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 this morning. Like we mentioned earlier, there are Bibles and baskets, different places around our worship space here, and we would love for you to grab one of those. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. If you go to the gym on, what is it, Thursday, you're going to run into a stark reality, right? There will be no exercise machines available. It will be impossible to find a workout bench, an elliptical, a treadmill. The place will be packed. You will park way in the back of the parking lot when you arrive, and you'll go, why am I even coming here? There are too many people. What do I do? And then 2 weeks from Thursday, you will go back and get any workout machine you want, right? That's kind of the way we roll. It's that time of year where we pause and we go, okay, it's a new year. I'm going to start over, and I'm going to make all these promises to myself. And the problem, actually, in my opinion, is not the fact that we have these times where we do a fresh start. Some of you all do New Year's resolutions, and some of you say, no way, I'm never doing them. I actually think there is a level of health to having points in our lives where we go, okay, this is a good reboot time. It's a good start over time. It's a time to kind of analyze our life and come up with a plan to do certain things in our life. Our problem, though, is not the plan most of the time. Our problem is that we never turn our initial plan into actual rhythms. We start with just doing something a few times, and maybe we do it for a couple of weeks. But to become a real rhythm in our life, to become more of a habit, it takes a season of life of being intentional. And that's where we run into struggle. And it's important. Like, listen, I'm with everybody that, you know, come this week, it's time to get back to the gym. It's time to get rid of all the Christmas cookies and get all the Christmas Reese's peanut butter cups out of my house. I mean, they're wonderful, but then not so much, right? Get all those out of my house and get rolling on what it looks like to start moving towards a more of an intentional rhythm of fitness and health. And there's all kinds of other things you can make those sort of promises to yourself. But the most important area of our life is our spiritual life. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. We're really going to say this is also a really good season for us to pause and do a spiritual life plan. And at the end of the sermon, the sermon time today, we're actually going to give you a chance to start that. To kind of say, okay, what does it look like for me to intentionally build rhythms in my life so that I do those rhythms over a period of time and the rhythms become habits, things that are just ingrained in the way I do my life. And those things will help us grow. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, this is a book of the Bible written by a guy named Paul, who was a missionary and one of the most important people in the early history of the church, writing to his son in the faith, a man named Timothy, who he is left behind at a church that Paul helped start to be the kind of the lead pastor, to oversee this church, to love them, to preach and teach. And Paul's talking to him about his life and his ministry. And in the midst of this, he's been talking to him about all these places where people get shipwrecked in their faith and chase things that aren't important and miss the main thing. And so these two verses, he says something that's really beautiful, really profound. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. He says this, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. That's the reference to all the things he's been talking about already, the places where people will get like sideways in their faith by chasing things that really don't matter and losing sight of what really does matter. And he says, rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul, train yourself for godliness, he actually is using an athletic metaphor. He's saying, okay, it's time to get the workout going. It's time to kind of dedicate yourself to a rhythm, a pursuit. One of the translations says that we need to discipline ourselves for godliness. And the phrase godliness here is just this phrase that says what it looks like to become more like Jesus. See, if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you came to faith, you were actually passive in it. Yes, you believed, but truth of the matter is God met you where you are. He opened your eyes to see the beauty of Jesus and you trusted in him. And that's like God did all the work. But as a follower of Jesus, we go from being passive to being partners in our own spiritual growth. Now, when we get to heaven, we look back and say it was still all God. But there's an invitation by God to join him in what we're doing in our life. And the way we do that is by training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, by creating rhythms in our life that push us towards a relationship with Jesus and a deeper walk with him. okay? And so there are certain things, certain rhythms. And so this morning, our sermon time is going to be a little bit different. I've just got a couple more minutes. I actually have to get off the stage. You're going to hear from several of our elders as they talk about different rhythms that you should and should consider and really find ways to build into your life as part of a spiritual workout plan. Now some things we need to remember as we think about what it looks like to walk daily with God, to have certain things that we're building in our life consistently, and we're not going to hit all of them. There's a whole bunch of other things that we could talk about this morning, but the ones we're going to talk about, it's easy to turn these into a list that I'm checking a box rather than having them be what they really are, which are what theologians have called means of grace, pathways to drinking deeply from the grace of God. And so before we get to the list of things to do, I just want to share four things. I want you to remember these four things about these spiritual disciplines before you make your workout plan, all right? Are you ready? Four things real quick. The first one is this: they are grace-centered. In other words, we should not turn our Bible reading, our prayer, our walk with Jesus, our being in community, the things that we need into our life, into duties to accomplish. They're actually things that flow from the fact that we are already loved, accepted, and approved in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, your Bible reading is not to gain God's favor. Your prayer life is not to try to get God to like you and love you more. He is for you. He loves you. But our prayer and Bible reading are ways to be reminded that it's all of God, that he has done everything necessary for us in Christ, and it's a way to remember that listen, I'm accepted. So if you make a plan and you do really well with it, great. God does not love you more, and you are not more approved because you did it. And if you last 2 weeks, and then in February you're trying to start again, God does not love you less. These are grace-based. You should not be motivated in your Christian life by feelings of guilt, but by the beauty of grace. Second thing is this: they're relational. The design of all these disciplines, all these rhythms, are designed to bring us deeper into a walk with Jesus, to know him more. Like God wants to be your friend. That language is used in the scripture of being friends with God, and this is a way to spend time. Just like if you're married, you know that the pathway to having a deeper relationship with your spouse is actually pausing and spending time with her. The way to have a deeper relationship with Jesus is by pausing and spending time, creating rhythms where you are intentional about your time to hear and speak and interact with God in a relationship. They are relational. Third, they are rhythms. They are, he's saying, train yourself. They are things we should build into our lives that have a steady, consistent drumbeat. My problem with my workout is that I wake up most mornings with my gym bag packed, with my knee braces in my bag, because I now need that, right? With a water bottle ready to go, and it gets in my car. But by midday, I've gotten so busy, and then I lose my motivation. And I do not create a rhythm. But what happens is I start to create a rhythm, it gets better. And what the truth of the matter is that there is freedom in discipline. Now, that sounds weird. There is freedom in rhythms that lead to disciplines that lead to habits. If you want to be, for example, step onto an ice rink, okay? Anybody like ice skating? Anybody go ice skating this holiday season? My girls every year on their birthday want to go ice skating. Their birthday is the day after Christmas. So you step onto an ice rink, and what you do is, like, I still look at the ice rink, and I go, I want freedom. Back in the day, I could skate. Not so much anymore. I don't even try anymore, to be honest with you. But, you know, I would love to have freedom. But, you know, the most free people on an ice rink are the people who are on the ice rink every day, either practicing, you know, skating fast and learning how to be a hockey player or learning how to figure skate. Like, the way to freedom on the ice is through massive amount of repetition on the ice, developing and disciplining yourself to get better and better and better. And next thing you know, there's way more freedom than somebody who just goes, I want to step on the ice and be cool and have fun. And then you're falling down and you have to get the little thing. You're the 50-year-old person who's still skating with the thing where you're walking around the ice with it, right? The way to freedom is actually with discipline, with rhythms that help you develop. And the last thing I want to tell you is this: there are pathways to growth. The idea is these are things that help you grow in your faith. And if you don't grow in your faith, if you aren't developing your faith and growth, then it's just not going to It's not going to reshape you in the ways that you hope that it will. So my goal, my thing here then is to tell you the first rhythm is the rhythm of daily, consistent, rhythmic Bible reading. I want to challenge you that maybe the most important thing you can do for your spiritual life is to open the Bible and get in a rhythm where you're doing it every day. Now, one of the ways we can do that is through devotionals. And I'm not an anti-devotional person, right, where you get a devotional and maybe gives you a couple verses and then gives you a thought for the day. And if you're doing that and that works for you, that's great. But I do want to challenge you that maybe the better thing is to start with more scripture and less what somebody says about scripture, and maybe get yourself into a more rhythmic and a deeper reading. There's all kinds of ways to do this. There are all kinds of plans. My challenge for you is that if you already do this, keep developing that plan. If you don't, try some things. For example, I know a lot of friends of mine who say that they want to read the Bible through every year. And I think that is a great plan. If you've never done that, you might want to try that this year. You know, we used to print stuff and hand it to you. We don't need to do that. There are hundreds of websites right now that will give you a read the Bible through in a year plan. Go download one. I just say, listen, it's my goal in 2025, maybe for the first time to read the Bible through in a year. I've done that before. It was helpful. It was meaningful. But for me, that was not the best plan. So maybe for some of you, the plan that you ought to be looking at is just, you're like, I've never actually read the Bible before. Don't make it a goal to read through the Bible through the year. Make it a goal to read maybe a section of a gospel every day. And do that. Another thing you might do is to read a chapter a day. One of the things that we give out every week is our family worship sheet. We make it available here. We make it available on the Genesis blog as well. We actually have a one chapter a day reading plan. And there are several people in our church that's their reading plan. They read through the book of the Bible. They read one chapter. It's one chapter a day. And our challenge is to read that chapter and then pause and reflect on that, to include that in prayer. And to do that. So the challenge for you is to say, listen, how can I incorporate Bible reading, daily rhythmic reading of the Bible, hearing the voice of God in the scripture in my plan? Two tools, and then I'm going to give this over to the next person who's up. So come on up. I forget who it is, but come on up. Two tools for you that I would encourage for this. The first tool I would encourage you to use is to buy a good study Bible, and very specifically the ESV study Bible. I still read a lot of passages to go, what is this? I don't get it. A good study Bible will have notes at the bottom of the pages and in margins and places that will help you understand what you're reading when you read it and you don't know what it's about. Second thing I would challenge you to get and maybe consider is a good journaling Bible. A Bible where there are a lot of Bibles that are designed for you to write in the margins. And this is what I do. I love my journaling Bibles because as I read, I can just write my thoughts and prayers and ideas to the side of it. But one of the first disciplines, one of the best ways to train yourself for godliness is to get in the scriptures and to be consistent, to create a rhythmic plan for reading the Bible. All right, John, come talk to us.
Good morning. Is this going to work sound-wise? Okay. So Mike's discipline kind of segues into mine, which is Bible study and memorization. And Bible studies may be just taking it a step further from Bible reading, and actually we're going to share some tools to help you to get into study. There's a number of Bible passages we could share today that encourage this particular discipline of grace, that is the study and memorization of God's Word. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119, fully dedicated to the benefits of studying and reading the Word. All 176 verses are praise to God for His written and enduring Word. And there are passages throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I've chosen one verse from another of Paul's letters, Colossians 3:16. It tells us this: "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Key word in that verse for us today is dwell, which means take up residence or be the master. If something is the master, it has influence. So if Jesus is our Lord, He should influence us. And in order to dwell somewhere, the object must be allowed in. For the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, we must take it in. And I'm going to just go through a short list of tools. Mike mentioned a study Bible. Big benefit if you don't have one, we would encourage you get one. Only the words of Scripture are inspired, but a Bible with commentary can help us grow in the knowledge of the Word. It can inform us of the author's original audience, their culture, the people that the author was writing to. The commentary often ties the passage in light of the big story of the whole message of the Bible, the message of the gospel. Study Bibles also come with footnotes that show us what other scriptures are relevant or tied to that verse. So in the New Testament, over 400 times, the Old Testament is quoted by the author. Second is another option. Some of you don't like to read or don't read well. An audio Bible can be a good way to get Bible study and memorization. And this might be a good use if you're in the car a lot and that's your only time for devotion. Mike mentioned daily devotionals. They can be helpful. Just make sure it's from a source that teaches the true gospel. We had a good one here at Advent from Paul David Tripp. If you enjoy that, we have his 365-day daily devotional at home that we read through sometimes. Next thing beyond a study Bible is you could buy commentaries. And Moody has a great commentary. There's a New American Commentary. Those are two I have at home to reference. It's just a study Bible on steroids, really. Additional notes, more about the original content. If you like digital tools, blueletterbible.org, it provides multiple research tools at one site. It's got multiple translations, so you can read it in King James, ESV, NIV, just to see how the words are translated differently. It also has a word search. You can see what a particular word meant in the original language, Hebrew or Greek. There are devotionals on that website and also multiple commentaries right there at your fingertips. You can have 8 or 9 commentaries on the same passage. Memorization. We move into memorization now. Psalm 1 in verse 2, I'm not quoting this, I'm paraphrasing, but blessed is a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. So if the psalmist is telling us to meditate, that's a way to memorize. I encourage you to memorize the Bible's big stories, the main topics, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. It's the grand theme, grand narrative of all of Scripture, and it happens over and over again within the stories that we read. Memorize some of the big stories of Scripture. Creation, fall, the flood, the story of David, Paul's conversion, miracles performed by Jesus. I did not grow up hearing these stories, so my introduction to a lot of these was as our sons were growing up, reading these stories to them through a children's Bible, and then going back later after they went to sleep or the next morning and say, all right, how is this story really told in full in Scripture? And then lastly, memorize favorite verses. Through the years, when I read something during my Bible reading that really hits me, I'm old-fashioned, kind of not a digital native, so analog. I write the scripture, the chapter and verse, and write out the verse on an index card. And every few months, I just read through these. Or if I read something new, I add to it. And I learn to rely on those. And it's more the verse that I remember necessarily than the chapter and actual verse. Actual scripture is what I remember here, and I can go find it. And then we have a new year, so we want you to grow in grace and knowledge. Set a time, set a place. Early morning works for me. Some of you may be night owls, and that's the only time you can do it. But it's for our benefit. So Kirk's going to come up and lead us through the next discipline of grace. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I appreciate your prayers this week. Many of you know I've been battling illness. Influenza A got me, but my fever broke a couple days ago, and I'm not contagious, and I'm really happy to be here with you this morning. And I want to talk a little bit about building in a rhythm of singing songs of praise and worship to our God. And that may seem like a strange rhythm. There's tons of scriptures that talk about singing songs of praise and worship to our God. But I want to talk a little bit about building that rhythm into your life and how we're commanded to do that, how that benefits us. You know, in Psalm chapter 22, King David wrote, "The Lord God inhabits the praises of his people." And I thought about that scripture, and I thought, that's kind of an odd way, to put that. He inhabits the praises of our people. And I looked at the original language that King David used. King David was, among many things, a musician and a very prolific songwriter. And God prompted him to tell us in chapter 22 that God inhabits our praises. And the words he used were, God will actually sit down with. He will come in and dwell with the praises that we lift to him in our songs of praise and worship. Words like he is enthroned on the praises of his people. And that tells me, that seems to suggest that when we lift our songs of praise and worship, God is giving us an extra measure of his presence. Not to say that he's not with us when we're not singing, because if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit in you, he will never leave or forsake you. But this verse suggests to me an extra measure of his presence when you praise him. And now, when I think about building that as a rhythm, my wife Jane, at our house, we have a radio, and I say that I didn't mean Alexa or Spotify. We're old school. We have a transistor radio on the shelf, and she has Joy FM playing 24/7. And I can't tell you how many times that just having that constant input will bring out something in me or in her. And sometimes that music's going on when we're having a party and a great time. Sometimes that music's going on when we're having a fight and it's a little convicting. But what you put in, what you listen to, you might want to think about listening to praise and worship music and then joining in. Maybe it's on your drive to work or on your drive to church. Don't let just Sunday morning corporate praise and worship time be the only time that you lift your songs of praise and worship. You know, it's easy to sing those songs when things are going really good, right? When you're on that mountaintop, but it's more difficult when you're dealing with that struggle, right? And when I think about it, when do we need that extra measure of God's presence? It's when we're going through the hard times, when life isn't treating us fair, when we're facing illness or loss of a loved one or a challenged relationship, whatever it might be. That's when we need those extra measures of God's presence. And that's when we need to be in the praise and worship mode ourselves, even though that might feel like the hardest time to do it. You know, it can be singing hymns. I love old hymns. I'm a guy that has music going through my head like all the time. It's been a big part of my life. And maybe it's old hymns, but I've really come to appreciate, you know, praise and worship music. Way back when, one of the very first bands that I ever, you know, praise and worship bands, touring bands that I listened to when I was a young man, were the Imperials. Now that's really old school for some of you guys. I see a hand or two. I know if David Moore was here today, he'd be amening me on the Imperials. But one of the songs that they came out with, real tricky title, Praise the Lord. That's the name of that song. And I'm not going to sing it for you today, but I'm going to close with reading, reciting some of the lyrics from that song, because it so embodies what I believe God's telling us to do in offering our praise and worship as a regular rhythm, even when things are tough. And the words go like this: when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they'll drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Isn't that good? He goes on to say, now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we're paupers when he knows himself we're children of the king. So lift up that mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. You ought to Google that if you haven't ever heard it before. And just build that rhythm. Good times, bad times, in between times. Sing praises to our God, church. Start this year off that way. Mike?
Good morning, church. Thanks, Kirk. That was awesome. So my privilege just to talk a little bit about prayer and a little about encouragement as we go into the new year. And I'm going to start with some information from John Piper. He defines prayer as a deep act of communication and dependence on God. He stresses that prayer is fundamentally an expression of faith in God's sovereignty and goodness, and a means of drawing near to him for guidance, help, and worship. He states that prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in the obedience or in the confidence that he will provide and give us the help that we need. And on the power of prayer, he states that God has established prayer as a means by which we receive supernatural help. And without supernatural help, we cannot live a life worthy of the gospel. He teaches that prayer is both a profound privilege and a powerful tool to experience God's grace and power in our lives and in the world. So all of this to say is that prayer takes on this vitally central role in our relationship with God and how we engage in the world. So something this powerful that we have access to, something that's this beautiful means of grace we have, you would think one would run to that eagerly every day, right? On our knees to pray and to praise God. But if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes that's a challenge for us, right? I know for me that is. Praying's a difficult thing to do. We struggle with time to pray. We see it sometimes in churches where you have prayer events that are poorly attended. And I've been to churches other than Genesis where churches that were three times as big as this that when you have a prayer meeting, you get five or six people to come. And I'm pleased to say when we have our prayer gatherings here at Genesis, we get a good group of people, and it's powerful and it's good. But it's an issue. Praying is difficult. All right, how's that? Okay. So, some reasons that it might be difficult for us to pray. Let me just share a few with you and see if you identify with any of them, okay? We're distracted. Distractions. Feeling unworthy or inadequate. lack of immediate results, uncertainty about what to say, emotional or spiritual dryness, lack of time, fear of vulnerability, spiritual warfare, misunderstanding the purpose of prayer, which is an important one, fatigue and stress. You all agree with me? Is prayer easy to do? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. But here's the deal. We can be encouraged through these struggles when we pray because Jesus does meet us where we are. We have help. And prayer doesn't have to be perfect, does it? Romans 8, 26 and 27 reads, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." It's good to be reminded that prayer is a growth process. Like any relationship, prayer takes time and effort to deepen. It takes work. So we don't need to be discouraged when we run into those difficult times when we pray. We just need to be persistent. Just need to stay with it, okay? We got it. We have a helper, okay? So here at Genesis, opportunities to pray. So on Friday mornings, we have a group that meets at La Finca Coffee Shop at 6:45 in the morning. It's a prayer time that's open to everybody in the church. We have about five or six people that come because that's a hard time on a Friday morning. People work. It's a hard time to be there, but it's good, powerful prayer. We pray for our ministries. We pray for our missions. We pray for the individual needs of others within our church and within the community. That's 6:45 on Friday mornings. Our prayer team conducts a quarterly prayer breakfast on Saturday mornings, led by Vanita Hill, who's the leader of our prayer ministry. And if anybody's, well, you all know Vanita. This is a heart for praise, and I just love praying with her. Anyway, she leads this. She's very creative in these prayer breakfasts. We have good food. Breakfast is served. We have group prayer in multiple formats. We sing songs of praise. And we usually average about probably 30 folks, which I'm really pleased that we get that many together for a prayer meeting like that. But I would encourage and challenge us in this year. We need to see a quarterly meeting. We have 100 people, whether it's in this building right here on a Saturday morning, and experience what prayer looks like with that many of us gathered together. So that's a hope and prayer for us. Those are quarterly prayer breakfast meetings on Saturday mornings, led by Vanita and the prayer team. The prayer team also will lead out throughout the year different resources, providing short books, things like that that help us that give us some prayer helps. You'll hear that when those books are made available. Sometimes somebody from the prayer team will be up here praying through those things with you. Take advantage of those books. Use them. Use them in your personal prayer time in the mornings. And finally, community group prayer. We have five rhythms in community groups. Prayer being one of those. And if you have not experienced this before, when you spend a dedicated amount of time in prayer with a small group of people, it is powerful. It's my favorite part about community group. We get to relationships deepen. It's the sweetest part about community group. So if you're not in a community group and you're looking for one, get with me and I'll help you find one, okay? But look for those prayer times within community groups. It's very powerful. Finally, for me, on my personal time in prayer, mornings are my time to pray. It's just better for me in the mornings. It's done around my Bible reading. When I try to pray through a format, I'm using a format that starts with praise and confession, thanksgiving, intercession and petition. That's typically what I'll try to do, but prayer looks different all the time for me too. You know, sometimes it doesn't always follow in that order. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does help. It does help. And then when you start with praise, it's good to start with scriptures. I like to start in the Psalms when I'm reading in the Psalms when I start praying. And then finally, there's the opportunity to pray throughout the day. John Piper refers to these prayers as wartime walkie-talkie prayers, where you're lifting up lifting up short prayers, conversational prayer to God, invoking the power of the Holy Spirit, whether in spiritual warfare, anything that you're dealing with, it's good to have those types of prayers throughout the day as well. For me, so that's a model. Every day is not like that. For me, my rhythms get broken all the time, I know the more days I go and not having not started and prayed like that, those days go different for me. So don't get discouraged when it's like that. Just get back on the saddle and join me this year as we continue to focus more on our prayer lives here at Genesis. Okay, all right, thanks.
Moment, I'm going to return this to its home. All right. We are back in action. The mic has been recovered. It needed a nap. It's no big deal. Everybody needs one after Christmas, right? I'm going to talk about just general reading. And that's the particular aspect that I want to discuss this morning. And there's four reasons I want to talk about it. I brought with me a partial part of my library up here with me. Two of these books I'm going to give away to somebody here in a minute if they want them. But there's a reason for this. And it's Mike mentioned reading scripture. How important is that? Most important thing we can do. Prayer. All the other theological training we've talked about. But how widely read are you? And are you reading things that are helping deepen your faith and grow you in Christ and helping you to process what Scripture says? If you're not a reader, I get it. But I can't impress upon you more how important it is that you read. And here's four reasons why, four quick reasons. One is this. Reading gives you a foot in the door for evangelism. And I'm not just talking about theological books. I'm talking about good fiction, talking about good nonfiction, talking about who in here likes Lord of the Rings by chance? Okay, who in here likes the Chronicles of Narnia? Okay, I just named two incredible series of books and movies that have an incredible impact on our culture. And I can't tell you how many times I've had the opportunity to talk to someone randomly because they like the same things I like. So read widely because it may give you a chance to talk to someone about the gospel. Read good fiction. Read good nonfiction. Read a good biography. So I have one of the books I have up here right now is by John Piper, and it's 21 Servants of Sovereign Joy. Man, I think they gave us this away for free to us at a conference, which is wild. It's huge. It weighs like 16 pounds. But it's 21 different biographies of different people in the faith. Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Bunyan, William Cowper, David Bernard, John Newton, on and on and on. Like, you want to know what the Lord has done in other people's lives? Read a good biography and then talk to someone about it. Use it as an open door for evangelism, gospel conversations, so on and so forth. Next is this. Read widely as a way to train yourself for apologetics and questions about the faith. So how many times have you been stumped by someone who had a good question and you didn't have an answer for it? Let me give you the spoiler warning, right? The only way you're going to have a good answer for that question is that you read an answer to that question yourself and have an answer formulated, right? We all are commanded by Scripture to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us. How do you do that? Read. Read widely. Read people who are doing good work on apologetics and evangelism. And read. You've encountered this question. What's the answer to it? Go read those things. Number three, you read. Read widely from other people because the Holy Spirit's working in all of us. That's one of the most amazing things about the text of Scripture and about the story of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit indwells each one of you, right? That means that as we talk and as we engage with one another, even within the local body of this church, aren't you sharpening me and aren't I sharpening you? Yeah, that's the goal. That's what we do to one another. Guys, I would not be here today. I would not be the guy that I am. I would not be able to preach. I would not be doing any of this without two people. One is Mike Hubbard. And how did we do this, Mike? When I was in seminary, we went through a book together and we sharpened one another as we discussed the book. And then the other guy is R.C. Sproul, who's a guy that I watched his stuff, I read his stuff, I listened to his stuff as much as I could because I wanted to just soak in as much as I could of that dude's brain. Because the Holy Spirit did something in that guy that I can't comprehend. I'm nowhere near as genius as he is. And I could name so many other people, John Piper, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, so on and so forth. And then lastly, if nothing else, read your Bible. Read the scriptures. And then read people who have read the Bible and have read the scriptures and have talked about it, so that way you can kind of dive into the deep end of thought and get to know your God better. So I have two books up here. If you will promise me you will read it, I'll give it to you right now. So first two hands I see go up, I'm going to give two different books. The first one is Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul. You want to dive into the deep end of the gospel and how God has chosen us in him through Christ? This is the book. I mean, there is no other better book. Who wants it? Right here. All right, Lori got it. And then the next one is this. It's another Sproul book. It's called Enjoying God, Finding Hope in the Attributes of God. How can you, by studying the attributes of God, right here, understand all the different aspects of his love and his joy and his grace and his justice and know him better because of those? Here's a book. I mean, that, like, this is how you do it. So again, my challenge is to just read widely and read well. Brandon has a slide for me he's going to put up on the screen. It's just a recommended list of publishers. Be careful who you read. You don't want to go and just read anything, because my gosh, there's some heresy out there, and it'll really mess you up. If you didn't have it, it's fine. I'll give you the list that I have. Just a few. Ligonier, that's R.C. Sproul's original ministry. Banner of Truth, Nine Marks, Crossway, Desiring God, 10 of those, which is kind of like a conglomeration of a bunch of different ones, Reformation Heritage, the Gospel Coalition, so many good publishers. So don't waste your time on bad books. Read good books with good theology, so that way you can know your God better.
So our goal this morning was just to say, hey, let's be real practical and get down to brass tacks. There's a phrase that happens over and over and over in the Bible where God in the midst of Scripture is talking. He says, listen, I have done this so that, here's a phrase, they may know that I am the Lord, okay? And that word know there is not like know like in your brain. It's this intimate relational knowledge of God. And that's the goal. And so the way we get there is to have an actual workout plan. I need a workout plan, right? And so we got people who are walking to you right now, handing out a sheet of paper. I want you to take this sheet of paper. If you're watching online, this is available on the post. You can find this in the post for the live stream this morning on Koinonia, or on the blog, blog.genesiseureka.com. Koinonia is our online community. It will also, when the sermon notes and family worship sheet are posted, it will be there as well. So if you forget it, leave it at home, you can find it online later. But this all begins with creating a rhythm. I grew up hearing the phrase a quiet time, a devotional time. Trying to find an intentional time where you're going to create a rhythm of this. And I know the first thing is, Mike, you don't get it. I don't have. We have crazy busy lives. Yet that text says bodily training is of some benefit. But training yourself in godliness is of benefit in every way, both now and for eternity. Come on. Every way, both now and for eternity. And so here's what we want to challenge you to do. We want to challenge you to take this sheet, and I'm going to give you just a second to do step one this morning, and then we're going to pray over you. And then take it home and fill the rest of it out. Just think about what is your spiritual plan for this year. Give some energy and time to thinking about what you're going to do, and then start creating spaces and places, especially for a daily time to open your Bible, to pray, to do a little reading, to sing and worship, to implement some of the other disciplines, even the ones we didn't get to this morning, okay? And so that's what we want you to do. That's kind of our takeaway. And if you're here this morning and this whole Jesus thing is kind of new to you, this is a good place to start, but we would also love to have a conversation about the fact that God loves you. He sent his son Jesus in the world for you, who lived the life you should have lived, died the death you should have died, and 3 days later defeated death, hell, and the grave by resurrecting, by rising again. And our hope and our salvation is wrapped up in what he did for us. And so as we take a minute here, and then Mike's going to pray, then we're going to have a couple other songs. And during the first song here, if you have questions, if you need prayer, if you would like somebody to just, you know, help you dialogue about what it means to do any of these things, we'll have somebody here at the back, these back doors, ready to meet you and pray with you if you would like to pray with somebody this morning. Our challenge for everyone is to take this, to get started. Like right now, I'm going to pause. Mike's going to come up in about a minute and pray. But answer the first question. What's the time? Where's your rhythm? What do you think your rhythm will look like? And where can you be intentional about a specific time every day to do this? All right?
Pray with me, church. Lord, we love you, and we're overwhelmed by your grace, your patient, enduring love, your sanctifying love that gives us opportunities, even like this morning, to move near to you in our lives, to become more like you, to live out the gospel that the way you have made us to. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that on the basis of that we build resources like what are in our hands this morning. And we are grateful for that opportunity, Lord, to take a step further, a step closer. Father, we praise you for this building. We know that you're a Father that gives good gifts, and this is certainly one of those. We know too, Lord, though, that this was not done without purpose. That there's much at stake here at Genesis, here in Eureka, as you send lives into our existence. The gospel they hear from us, the way we love you, the way we love each other, Lord, those things. Lord, take effort, and we want to get this right, Father. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, lead us through these training forms. Speak to each of us individually, Lord, and to the gifts that you've given us to serve. And Lord, we just want to give you honor and glory for the very salvation of many lives saved in this area, Lord. And we give this all to you. We surrender this all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.